Redbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota on Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit toyotaonnicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington, home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at lexusoflexington.com.
Well, hello, everybody. This is John Michael Talbot. Are you good news or bad news? We have bad news all around us in the world. What are we doing about it? Are you good news or bad news? Come back. We'll look at that. Howdy, everybody. John Michael with you. Are you good news or are you bad news? We're looking at Pope Francis's apostolic letter, the joy of the gospel. Last week we talked about joy. This week we're going to be talking about the word good news, the gospel. I love what Pope Francis says in Article 21, the gospel joy which enlivens the community of disciples is a missionary joy. A missionary joy. But what are the words used in Scripture for good news, for gospel? The word is euangelion. Euangelion. Say that with me. Euangelion. And it means good news. The word eu means good. Angelion is very similar to another word in Scripture, which is angelos. Angelos. Say that with me. Angelos. It's where we get the word angel, a messenger. And that's similar in meaning to the word prophetes, where we get the word prophet. So a person that's bringing the gospel, the good news, you're a messenger of something that is good. You're an angel, only you have flesh, of something good. You're a prophet of something good, a good prophet, a good angel, a good messenger. So we are called to bring good news. Now I want to look at some scriptures. The Pope in this Article 21, again, let's read it again. The gospel joy which enlivens the community of disciples is a missionary joy. And this is where the Pope is going to really keep directing us so that everything in the life of the church is for the sake of missionary joy. Missionary joy. Pope Paul VI, he says, the church exists to evangelize, to bring good news. If all God wanted to do was save us, he'd knock me on my head as soon as I accept Jesus, and boom, up I'd go. I'd go be with the Lord. See, we have work to do. We have a job to do. And that job is to bring good news into a world that is often filled with a lot of bad news. See, so we are to be evangelists. He says the 72 disciples felt joy as they returned from their mission. That's Luke chapter 10, verse 17. Jesus felt it, joy, when he rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and praised the Father for revealing himself to the poor and the little ones. Luke 10, 21. Now, we hear that we are to be evangelists, and we hear about Jesus preaching the gospel, the good news. Mark 1, chapter 1, verse 15, he says, and Jesus came saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Some interesting words there in Greek. The first is lego. Sounds like kids' toys. Ha! I used to play with Legos, or I played with little kids when they were playing with Legos. Lego is similar to the word logos, where we get word. It means to say, to set forth. So when Jesus comes saying, the word is lego. He is setting forth the good news. He's telling us how it's done. Another word that's really cool there is repent. The word repent comes from the Greek metanoia. Metanoia. It simply means to turn around. One of the roots is noia, not in paranoia, but noia, which goes back to the Greek word nous, which means mind, the spiritual mind. So it means to be with, meta, and to change our mind, to turn around. See, a lot of times we're headed towards bad news. We're on a direction. It's headed to a cliff. Doesn't work. We got to turn around. So that's called repentance, metanoia. And believe the good news. The root word there is pistis, faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, of things not yet seen. To believe the good news means that, this is so cool, that you're going to believe good news even when bad news is all around you. It's all around us sometimes. Family problems, work problems, heck, church problems. And we're going to have faith. Pistis. It is the substance. The word there is hypostasis. It means the personification, the person. So faith brings into the now. It personifies stuff that we're hoping for, the good news. It brings it to today, to now. Oh, I love this stuff, folks. Matthew 4, verse 23 says, He, Jesus, went all about Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease. Now, the word there for preaching is a little different. It's not lego, saying, it's preaching. And the word is didasco, didasco. It's where we get the word didactic, see, or the didache. It simply means to teach. And he healed. One way to bring the good news was to heal. And I love the root word in Greek is where we get the word therapy, to heal. So the gospel is therapy. The gospel brings healing. Healing. There's so much sickness. There's emotional sickness. There's mental sickness. And it gives birth to physical sickness. Jesus comes to heal all of it. With the good news. With the good news. Matthew 24, verse 14, he says, And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world as a testimony to all the nations. The word there is another word that we often hear in our Bible studies. And the word is kerygma, or caruso, which means to preach. So the question is, are we preaching with our life? Are we proclaiming? Are we healing? Are we good news or are we bad news? The gospel is to be preached to all nations, Mark 13:10. And the gospel must first be preached to all nations, Mark 16:15. And he said, Go unto all the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation. St. Francis, preaching to the birds, preaching to the fish, St. Anthony of Padua, preach to the whole of creation. I just drove over here to do this taping. We're in Southern California, and the further we went in towards San Bernardino, where we are right now, the smoggier it got. Man, we need to preach good news to that. We need to heal. We need to preach the good news to all creation, to people, to creation. Jesus comes to set us all free. And in Acts chapter 15, verse 7, he says, and after there had been much debate, Peter rose and said, Brethren, you know that in the early days God made this choice among you, that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believing. Are we proclaiming everywhere we go? I used to hang out with a guy that was in charge of all of the third order regular Franciscans all around the world. He was a priest. His name was Roland Fahey. Wonderful guy. And what surprised me, I was just young, and this older brother in Christ, everywhere he went, he brought up Jesus. He'd get into a cab. By the end of the cab ride, he'd say, do you know Jesus? Are we raised Catholic? What's that last name? Are you coming to church? And it was always so tasteful. And it never put anybody off. Are we preaching with joy? Evangelizing. Are we bringing good news? Well, I think we're going to leave it here for now. And we're going to come back. We're going to go a little deeper. Are you good news? Or are you bad news? Are you proclaiming to everyone you meet? That's the real question. I'll see you back here later. Thanks. I love you.
And I found your footprints in the sands by the sea. And like your maiden, I ran along the way to a secret chamber. So I have abandoned ever sought to be, and in dying my spirit has been
Howdy, everybody. John Michael back with you. Are you good news or bad news? Are we evangelists? Are we evangelizing? You know, you got to be bold to do this. Listen to what it says in Romans 1, verse 16. Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who has faith. To the Jew first, and also for the Greek or the Gentile." See, you got to have some boldness. Are we ashamed sometimes of our Christianity? You know, Christians are being marginalized in the secular humanist world. We've gone through a shift, haven't we? We've gone through a decided shift from a secular, from a Judeo-Christian moral base in our society to a secular humanist base. And as we make this shift, those who adhere to the Judeo-Christian moral base are a threat to those who want to go with the secular humanist base. So sometimes you and I that follow the Judeo-Christian moral base, we're marginalized. We're made to look foolish, archaic. We're made to look like we hate people that don't agree with it. We don't hate people that don't agree with it. We love everybody. We just hold for a Judeo-Christian moral base. So we are being marginalized, demonized, and God help us, we could even be criminalized. Are you bold enough to keep positive, to keep loving everybody, to keep bringing the good news in the face even of that marginalization, that demonization, and maybe even that criminalization? You got to have that boldness. But don't despair, because in the early church, they were persecuted by the Roman government. They were put to death for 200 straight years, and we grew, Christianity grows under this persecution. We grew at, get this, 40% a decade for 200 years. By the time that Constantine had the Edict of Milan, whereby Christianity was declared the religion of the Roman Empire, he was stating the obvious. Everybody had already converted. There were a few who hadn't, but most had, see? So don't be afraid to be bold. Well, there are evangelists. Philip in Acts 21:8 was an evangelist. Ephesians 4, verse 11 says, you know, that the gifts that have been given to us, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. And in his second letter to Titus, he says, as for you, always be steady, to Timothy, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Are we walking in our anointing for ministry? Yeah, you see, we're all anointed for a gift. We each have a gift. We have natural gifts. We have supernatural gifts that God has given us. And you have to be willing to step into your giftedness, to be bold, to bring this good news. So are we walking in the gift of the Spirit that God has given us? There is nobody in the church who does not have a gift. The Pope is very clear. This evangelization is for everyone, not just for a few. All of us have this call. All of us have this gift. Are we walking in this gift? I hope you do. So we have to be a gospel. St. Paul says to the Corinthians in his second letter, he says, you are our letter, our epistle, written on our hearts, known and read by all, shown to be a letter of Christ administered by us, written not in ink, but by the Spirit of the living God on tablets of, not of stone, but on tablets of flesh, on tablets of the heart. See, we are a walking gospel. We are a walking good news and evangelization. It happens just by living. It's in our eyes. It's in our smile. It's in the lilt in our walk, in the lightness of our countenance. There's a lot of oppression, a lot of darkness. People sometimes actually look and feel like they're being pushed down. A Christian, we walk, we lighten things up. Now let's go to the Pope's letter. He says in Article 127, there is a kind of preaching which falls to each of us as a daily responsibility. It has to do with bringing the gospel to the people we meet, whether they be our neighbors or even complete strangers. This is the informal preaching which takes place in the middle of a conversation. Something along the lines of what a missionary does when visiting a home. Being a disciple means being constantly ready to bring the love of Jesus to everyone. And this can happen unexpectedly, in any place, on the street, in a city square, during work, on a journey. Listen how he says it happens. In this preaching, which is always respectful and gentle, the first step is personal dialogue. Just learning how to talk with people. Come out of yourself. Come out of your safety zones. Just learn how to talk to folks. Be interested. Care about them. When the other person speaks and shares his or her joys, hopes, and concerns for loved ones, or so many other heartfelt needs. Only afterwards is it possible to bring up God's Word, perhaps by reading a Bible verse or relating a story. I can't tell you. You know, I do public ministry all the time. I can't tell you how much wonderful evangelization has happened with me in an airport, at a Love's or a Pilot truck stop, just talking to people, just listening to them. They know I care. See, if that's not there, I can talk until the cows come home. They don't care. They don't care. It's got to be real. So we learn how to dialogue. This message has to be shared humbly as a testimony on the part of the one who is always willing to learn. So when we share the gospel with others, we're not coming off like know-it-alls, like we have all the answers. Oh, I'll listen to your poor, pitiful story, and then I'll give you what you really need to hear. No, an evangelist listens. Listens. I can't tell you the lessons I have learned from non-Christians as I listen to their stories, as I hear their hurts. as I listen to their fears, their life. I learn from them. Because I'm willing to learn from them, now I can share with them in a way that is humble. But if I lose that ability to learn from the people I evangelize, I become self-righteous, a noisy gong, a clanging cymbal. Ooh, that's powerful. At times, the message can be presented directly. At times, by way of personal witness or gesture. A gesture. The smile. The caring gesture. It can touch people, folks. Or in a way which the Holy Spirit, here we go back to the power of the Spirit, that the Spirit may suggest in that particular situation. And perhaps then it could end with a brief prayer. How do we do this? Die and rise, folks. Die and rise. That's Christianity. Colossians 3, 9, and 10. You have taken off the old self with its practices and put on the new self. And St. Paul says in Galatians 2, 20, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live. It is Christ who lives in me. See, if you're still hanging on to ego attachments, your self-will, your agendas, even in your evangelization, you got to let it go. And when you let it go and the old self dies, now Jesus can work. And when Jesus works, oh, it's always so much better than what we can do. And it is that gift of the Spirit, that dunamis, dynamite. The Greek word is dunamis. It's where we get dynamite. He says in Acts 1:8, you will receive power, dynamite, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And then you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, yes, even to the ends of the earth. Wow. Let's open ourselves. See, when we die to the old, we can rise up new. Jesus can live with it. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And now I can evangelize like Jesus in the secular world and in the sacred world, all one in Christ. That's my prayer for you. I love you guys. I'll see you back here next time. God bless you.
Consider the rain. They do not sow, and they do not reap. Yet God the Father provides for them, yet upon the earth these are among the smallest things. Consider how the lilies grow. They do not spin, and they do not weave. Yet I tell you now, not even Solomon in all of his splendor was arrayed like anyone of these. So seek ye first the kingdom of God and the wealth of his righteousness. righteousness. For wherever your treasure lies, there will you find your heart.
For listening to Breadbox Media. Find more about us at breadboxmedia.com.